Good morning, class.
Hi.
Hola, hola.
Hi, good morning, baby.
Oh my gosh, your voice is so pleasing, so joyful.
Really? Does it make you calm?
Oh,
that.
It was a switch up. Guys, we're back.
That was a moment.
You guys.
Hi, I'm Josie Tota.
Tota.
And I'm saying that like that because I'm in Italia. Oh.
She is in Italia. I just want to paint a picture if you're listening to this. She's in her bathrobe right now. Her hair is damp. She's
giving Lizzie McGuire movie.
It's giving Lizzie McGuire movie. And it's almost like cottage core.
Very much.
Like in Italy, eat, pray, love type shit.
Yeah.
You're really just beautiful.
You're sitting in front of somebody's beautiful. Like this is, I just love
just,
all of it. You're glowing.
Just beautiful. We're dedicating this episode to
Josie Tota. Yeah. Okay, Josie Tota in Italy. Hi.
Who are you?
I'm Alicia Pascual Peña.
Hi, I'm Yasmin Hamadi, and you're watching Disney Channel. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, ding, 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 ding. Anyways, how are we, guys?
Well, I was so blessed by just the life-saving measure that was Alicia last weekend. When I randomly was like, will you come and meet me in Spain for the weekend? And Alicia said, yes. That was like very privileged sentence to say, but we recognize it and we're grateful for it.
Yeah.
And we were able to meet up in Spain and have the best weekend in Mallorca.
It was ethereal. Mallorca. So grateful.
And honestly, it was so fun. I thought it was going to be like a very like, resort vibe where we just sit every day and like lay by the pool.
White Lotus.
But like we literally,
God,
we were Dora the motherfucking Explorer.
Yes,
and I'm not just saying that because Alicia is Latina. I'm saying that because I was literally Map and Alicia was Dora. Like we literally were just vibing up a storm.
You were the Map and I was Dora with the backpack.
And I was Swiper, no swiping across the pond being like, are you guys answering my fucking texts?
You were Swiper.
Literally. Literally. Anyway, we just had such, did you have a good time? I'm speaking for you.
No, I literally, like I said it earlier, it was ethereal. It was so healing. It was so beautiful. Probably not the smartest thing to leave my life in disarray at the drop of a hat. Gonna try not to do that again, but I would do it again for you.
Wait, your life was in disarray?
No, I think I just like left so last minute, but it was so beautiful. It was so healing. Like we were doing all the hikes, jumping into random beaches. I came back just floating just because, you know, we haven't been able to spend time together. And we got to like experience this new country together. I also felt like it was just so special. Not only to travel with you, but like to experience a new culture, new food with you. I feel like that's what life is about. And yeah, we had the best time ever.
I was going to say, like, honestly, yes, you might have left at a drop of a hat and you came back and you were overwhelmed. But like as a best friend coming from this perspective, I'm so glad you went. And I'm so glad both of you guys were together. Because if you like in 20 years, you're going to look back and be like, fuck, that was such an amazing week. I'm so grateful that I had that experience. Honestly, I'm so happy that you guys both went. It's little moments like this where you look back and you're like, I'm so grateful. And I think that also goes to like tying into the phone thing where like you guys weren't on social media talking about it, posting about it, showing the world. Like that's,
nobody knew I was there. Like,
yeah.
And mind you, I was not overwhelmed. If anything, it's like what Josie said. I'm so privileged that I was able to do that. A couple years ago, that was not my life.
That wasn't like, an option for you.
I live a very blessed life in ways that I couldn't even have imagined as a kid because of the humble beginnings I come from. So I was so grateful to do that. And coming back, I wasn't even overwhelmed. I feel like it was just like, I think I did something so spontaneous, which is very out of my character to do that. I even had like a really fruitful conversation with my manager about it and just like not equating ourselves with worth with work. And I think that has a lot to do with phones because we think like, oh, we put this phone down, we're going to miss an opportunity. We're going to miss work. And like Josie and I had our phones down most of the time. Like nobody knew I was there. I literally have taken like over 7 flights in the last 2 weeks and people don't know where I'm at. And it's been beautiful to just be present with new people.
100%.
Yeah. And well, I agree. And because of how great last weekend was, I was literally like, I want to go somewhere the weekend after. So that is why I took a solo trip to the south of Italy and to the Amalfi Coast. And, you know, it was very interesting 2 days that I had with myself. I learned a lot about myself. It was harder than I thought it would be to be alone in a country for that long, which it sounds crazy because like I live alone in Scotland and like I'm constantly like, I'm more alone in Scotland than I've ever been in my life. But then when I was in Italy, I was like, I actually am not that alone that much in Scotland. Mm. And I literally went up to the woman at the front desk of my hotel and I said, I want to have the best food. I don't care if it's a nice restaurant. I don't care if it's fancy. I don't care if it's close or far. Can you make me a reservation at the best restaurant in town? And this woman said, look, yeah, see. So she, boss ass bitch, she's like 20 years old and is a DJ. But anyway, she made me this reservation. A man in a shuttle picked me up and took me to this place far as fuck away. And I sat down and the owner of this restaurant kept giving me free food. I was really like, am I literally at like a promoter dinner right now? Because this man like kept serving me food. I'm like, what do you
want? It's like in Squid Game, the last scene where they're feeding everyone before they have them fight to the death.
That was literally it. And he was just really nice. Kept giving me free stuff. He gave me a free shot of limoncello,
which
was amazing. And then I already had a glass of wine. So, you know, I was like, I wasn't buzzed at all, but I was like, I was warm.
I know exactly that.
And at a certain part of the dinner, this man came up to me and I had just like finished my main meal. And he was like, oh, I'll give you dessert for free. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And then he said to me, he was like, do you want to meet my brother? And I was like, sure. Which I don't know why I said yes. I just kind of thought he was going to be like bring out his brother to the dinner table. But then all of a sudden I'm following him outside the restaurant and into this back room, which is like another part of the restaurant. Mom, don't get scared. While I was walking back, I was like, did I just make the worst decision of my life? Like, is this about to be a chapter in my memoir? Like, am I going to have an interview with like Katie Kirk about
like
this?
Like Diane Sawyer's and shaking.
Because the dinner was like, or the restaurant was like closing. So like I was really the only one in there. And I walked to the back and all of the chefs are around a table in the kitchen and they're all eating and cheering and celebrating. He was like, it's my brother's birthday. Pull up a chair. And he literally pulled up a chair. All of a sudden I'm eating, I'm drinking with like this, all the chefs of the kitchen with this guy's 80-year-old dad,
oh,
with his cousin, with his little cousin, with the 16-year-old that works at the restaurant. And then we're having like homemade cake from this like their Italian friend who's a baker. And it was so wonderful. And I had the most incredible conversation with this man. Shout out Paolo. And Paolo was basically the only one who kind of knew English. Everyone else, I was kind of just like vibing with like their attitude because I really couldn't understand them.
Sing to me, Paolo.
And Paolo was telling me about how frustrated he was with our generation. I'm not even kidding. Because he was like, you guys are all so obsessed with your phones. Mm. And like, it's all this. And he kept doing like the motion of texting. He was like, you're not living anymore. You're not going outside. You're not experiencing things. Mm. And he said, you know, when we were younger, this entire room would be packed. But there was probably like 10 to 12 people in there. But it was like a large room. He was like, this room would be packed to the brim. It would be like people on top of each other. But he was like, now everybody's on their computer or watching TV or just like not being present. He was like, we learn from each other. He also said, everybody wants to talk, but nobody wants to listen. And I was like, that is so true. Obviously not that profound to say, but like it hit. And I was like, as a podcaster, I'm like, that hits. But what I will say is that he was fucking amazing. And it kind of inspired me to talk about phones today and how we've kind of become so obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. It's literally like an addiction, dare I say, likened to a jewel or a flume or whatever the fuck people do, because I do not smoke, hashtag smokeless. If the idea of talking about how phones are single-handedly and slowly ruining our lives overwhelms you, then join this conversation. We can talk about our toxic relationship with the meanest man of them all, which is the toxic iPhone. Or Samsung if you're weird, but whatever.
No, not the slander. Text go green.
If your text go green, automatically you're getting ghosted. 100%. No, I stand by that.
Everybody.
Not the Samsung.
Oh, and we're also going to do another rendition of Unhinged with Yasmeen Hamari. Christ. So we'll get into it after the break.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, you. Don't forget to follow us at Dare We Say on Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/darewesay. We will be right back.
If you know me at all, honestly, even if you don't know me, if you just look at me, you know I have to squat.
That's true.
It's just something that I need to do.
Correct.
Going number two for me isn't always the easiest. Mm-hmm. And when Miss Polliner, my junior year biology teacher, brought up the fact that our bodies were anatomically designed to shat while squatting, and then the Shark Tank episode came out where Barbara Corcoran, why do I know so much about the history
of this company? You are a squatty potty enthusiast.
Where Barbara Corcoran, hydrochloroquine Barbara,
Harley Quinn Barbara
of Shark Tank invested in the squatty potty when everyone thought it was stupid, and now it is an insanely successful company. The squatty potty will change your life. Mm-hmm. It changed mine. Break it down for us.
No, like it's
for those that don't know.
It's not even like a discussion for us, I feel like. It's a part of our friendship. It's a part of our bond. It's a part of our life.
It brings us together.
It brings us together. Like
talk about it. What does a squatty potty do?
A squatty potty is a little squatty pot that puts your body in a natural squatting position. Our bodies were designed to poop that way. It's clinically proven to help you better. Not only is it backed by science, but it's backed by me. I shit better due to the squatty potty, which is the most...
Yasmeen or science?
Or science.
One could argue the latter.
One might argue
lesser.
I am science. And so over 8 million stools have been sold and more than 10,000 five-star reviews. And when you buy it, you get 60 days back on your money guaranteed if you don't like it. But I can almost promise you...
We just know you are going to love it.
You're
going to
love it. And it comes in so many different designs, like cedar, marble, SpongeBob, the whole thing.
Go to squattypotty.com/dare. SquattyPotty.com/dare for 20% off of your purchase. Come on, we love a deal here. And that's SquattyPotty.com/dare.
Shit like us.
Dare We Say is brought to you by Smile Actives. Mm. Are you self-conscious about your smile due to stains? Are your teeth aging? Popular food and drinks are known to stain your teeth. Beverages... I am known to have a little bit too much coffee, a little bit too much Coca-Cola, and it just stains your teeth over time. So what can you do to brighten your smile? Well, you should give Smile Actives a try. Smile Actives is safe, effective, easy to use, and will keep your smile proud and white. 97% of Smile Actives users in a clinical trial reported up to 6 shades whiter on average, all within 30 days. Have you ever wished that you had a whiter and brighter smile? Well, before you visit a dentist, you should know that their whitening treatments can be very expensive, and it's not just the price. You also have to book the appointment, schedule time away from work or family, sit in a damn dentist office, which nobody likes, while undergoing this procedure. It's a hassle, but not with Smile Actives, baby.
So basically what you do, because I use it every single day, is I only use it at night specifically. But after I put on my toothpaste on my toothbrush, I put a little pump, ever so slightly, I pump one thrust on with my finger of the Smile Actives on my toothbrush, and I brush my teeth. I spit it out, tastes like mint, and my teeth actually look whiter, like, right off the bat.
We love it. All you have to do is add Smile Actives Pro Whitening Gel to your regular toothpaste, like Yas said. It's been formulated with porcelain technology to boost stain removal and deliver active whitening ingredients into teeth grooves and crannies to get a better whitening. Smile Actives makes a teeth whitening gel that can simply be added to your toothpaste every time you brush your teeth. So no change in your already routine. No extra time. Yet people will start commenting on your whiter, brighter smile in just days. Smile Actives is a whitening boost your favorite toothpaste needs to give you the smile you deserve.
Visit smileactives.com/dare today to receive your special buy one, get one free offer, plus free shipping and handling. That's smileactives.com/dare.
Something I want to mention that I deem important is that our show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't come with a manual. We know this because shit gets thrown at you and sometimes it comes out of you uncontrollably. And when it's not like working for you, it's normal to feel like stuck and lost and isolated and alone, which is how BetterHelp comes into play. These therapists are help trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions. It learned productive coping skills. Basically, like a little helper helping you create new tools in your toolbox to just navigate life in a way that is with more ease. It's the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine called you. BetterHelp offers all the benefits of in-person therapy, but it's so much more convenient, accessible, and affordable.
Mm-hmm. And as the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It literally couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapists.
Therapy has changed our life. It truly has made me, I think, a better person. And just, I feel like for so long.
And all of a sudden,
bless your heart.
Bless your heart, baby.
I feel like for so long, I was swimming with my head kind of bobbing water in therapy. Genuinely, it's taking me above water and I could finally breathe. And I don't have to like catastrophize on life anymore and like feel like life is coming at me. Instead, I realize life is coming from me. Yeah. And you can learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/dare. That's betterhelp.com, help, help.com/dare. You know, life for phones have become our accessory, not only to our lives, but to our beings. I wanted to talk about a conversation that we have every day on this item, which is the cell phone. I am an addict, and you are one too. Most likely, the first thing you do in the morning is check your phone. The last thing you do is check your phone.
Josie, what the fuck?
I think that's wonderful, but should we be telling people they're an addict?
Wait. I mean, they are, though.
No,
you cannot tell people that. Scientifically, it's not an addiction.
No, we are.
They did a study on this. It's not an addiction.
Okay. Sorry, you're not an addict. Let's get into this conversation about phones.
Phones. It's a hot topic. So many feelings, so many emotions. But I want to ask you guys, what is your relationship with your phone? Because I feel like all of our feelings towards phones are very different.
Yeah, they're all vastly different. For me, I feel like the phone is, and this is really sad to say, and if you're like, oh, this is so pathetic, chances are you're probably
most of the world.
It's a lifeline. Mm-hmm. It is a part of your lifeline. It's I don't want to say exactly it's an addiction, because an addiction, it literally is different than a drug. Because this is also essential for everyday life.
But you can be codependent on your phone.
Absolutely. Well, you are.
Yeah.
I am. I'm codependent on my phone.
I'm dependent on my phone.
And the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I go on my phone. The last thing I do before I go to bed is I go on my phone. Mm-hmm. So my relationship with my phone is I love it, but it gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah.
And I feel like I rely on it and depend on it.
It really does give you anxiety.
It does. Like the rush. Or the like, all my anxiety lies in my stomach and my gut. It always has since I was a kid. And like getting a text from someone that I didn't want to get a text from makes my stomach drop. And the fact that just seeing someone's name pop up on a phone can have a visceral reaction into my health, my like literal immune system, is so insane. And along with social media, I also feel like I'm getting dumber. Like I take notes on this instead of writing. I don't know how to do. Like, I'm too lazy to do, like, simple math. I have a calculator here.
Yeah.
I track my health here, my steps. It's becoming
everything that you don't know offhand.
That you should be knowing offhand. That I'm relying on this to create memories instead of living for the right now, making a memory. Does that make sense?
Of course it does. I think all of us, like, even if there are people that are better at putting down their phones, all of us subconsciously have to engage.
100%.
With our phone in unhealthy manners, whether it's for work, whether it's the way that we communicate with people. I'll be totally transparent. My relationship with my phone is actually something I'm pretty embarrassed about.
Go on.
Like, I am very embarrassed about, because I'm not good with my phone. I'm like a bad texter. And I don't say that to be cute or have people pander to me. I think sometimes it can come off that way. Like, oh, it's like I'm just a bad texter. Like, just blow up my phone.
No,
I'm an awful texter. Like, I'm an awful texter. I have literally like jeopardized friendships with people because of my inability to communicate over the phone or You know, because I very much sometimes will just see an influx of text because I'll get a lot of text or I'll get a lot of phone calls. And then I'm like, okay, if I open this one text, I have to open the other 300.
Yeah.
And like, that's not an exaggeration. So then I don't touch any of them. And that's super.
She's just really popular. No, so she has 400 texts.
No. I'm fucking with you.
No, but I hear you.
Please do, because there is certain times where, like, I think, you know, even you guys, but I've had other friends have like very like start conversations with me where they were holding me accountable and being like, hey, I don't feel heard. I don't feel like you're showing up for me as a friend because of your inability to communicate. Because the bare minimum is to respond to a text from 4 weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also like, how do we navigate the juxtaposition of my piece is my piece and I don't owe anyone anything? And I also think that as humans, we weren't made to be this accessible to everyone at all times.
Agreed.
Because I don't only have texts. I got calls. I got DMs. I got Twitter. Which, fun fact, they took my verification away because I haven't used since 2021. But anyways.
On Twitter?
Yes.
Well, that's because also Elon.
It's so spiteful.
Trifling.
Also,
anyways.
Elon Musk took it over. So that's why.
Let's not even give him the airtime. But
what's your relationship with your phone?
Yeah.
I feel like in the grand scheme of like people my age with their phone, I have pretty good relationship with it. Like, I am, yes, I'm addicted to my phone. I'm addicted to TikTok. I'm addicted to, for some reason, looking at myself on the camera, like 24/7. If a random person walks into a restaurant, they could literally be the least attractive person to me in the entire world. I would still be like, how am I being perceived right now?
Sure.
I'm just so obsessed with how I'm constantly perceived at any given moment. And that's something that I'm trying to work on. I think that when Alicia had COVID, I did a cleanse with my social media.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I chose to do when you had COVID, but it helped. And I literally, I was off Instagram and everything. And it was not my phone, but that really helped because it wasn't until I deleted the app. And I suggest you guys all do it too. Like, try for a day or however long, you know, you can handle it. Because my thumb kept going to the place that the Instagram was. It was like a limp.
Yes. Yes, Josie.
Like a limp phone. Yes, like just a reaction.
What is it called? Wait, no, what is that called?
A reflex. A reflux.
No. Like when someone cuts off their toe and they still moves? Feel like their toe is there. Yeah. Can someone?
What is it called?
Phantom limb.
Phantom limb.
Okay. I was like a phantom limb. And that's what it was for me. And I was like, wow. And honestly, I feel like I have a really good relationship. Not really good. I think I have a good-ish relationship with social media, but still not with my phone. When I wake up, I want to see the text that I got. It's the validation that I get. And often, I mean, I'm going to be honest, probably not that often. Okay. But once in a hot minute, I will wake up with the urge to check my phone and I will stop myself. And this is so embarrassing.
No, it's not.
But I will literally be like, name 10 things that you're grateful for today. That's weird. I will do that first. And then I'm like, okay.
Oh, Josie. But I don't think that's weird, Josie.
No, that's not weird at all. I think we should all incorporate more mindfulness practices into our daily routine, even if they're minuscule. Like, I don't think that this is a big deal because it's not. It's literally so sad that I have to mindfully.
No, I'm proud of you for it. I didn't even mention it, but I'm proud of you.
You know
it.
What it is? Yes, because you guys live with me. So every morning I wake up the same way. I try to have my phone like physically away from me and I will blast gospel music.
It's
like,
true.
It's my thing.
Wait, no, I was going to talk about something else. I thought you were going to talk about the fact that you set time limits for Instagram.
Oh, I do.
She does do that, but I'm like, Alicia, when she wakes up, her phone will be on the other side of the bed charging, not next to her. She won't even go on it and she'll put on gospel music or a preacher's.
Yeah, or like a sermon.
A sermon on.
And mind you, that's different for everybody. Like, I know my friend, like Emily. Love her so much. She will put on like meditation sounds. Other people will do things that will like align their chakras. But for me, gospel music is really helpful. Like even this morning, I had my phone like in my room playing gospel music and I did my makeup and like had a conversation with Angelica because my friend had slept over and just was present in the morning and then let my day start.
Yeah.
But then even that sometimes I can't do because there's an email or
whatever
it may
be.
I
think it's really amazing that you guys are able to do that sometimes, but it's so ambitious sometimes, I feel like, to even do that, because chances are, like, I'm waking up in the morning, I have to make coffee quickly because I'm exhausted. I have work in the morning, we all do, but it's like, I need to see who messaged me.
Yeah.
And also, why is it awful that I get disheartened if I don't wake up with a bunch of text messages of people reaching out to me?
What the phone has done and what these apps have done is create a literal codependency
yep.
between
yep.
the phone and us, the person. Yep. That's almost like a drug.
Correct.
That it keeps giving us more and more. All of these apps are designed to trigger our serotonin levels. Yes. Down to the way the notification looks, the way the notification pops up on your phone, the color of these apps, the colors of when it means when someone's texted you or when your DMs are emboldened, like the text is emboldened because like that means there's a DM there. Like all of these things are intricately designed to fuck us over.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, because how fucked it is, because how serious it is, serious intention equals serious impact. And that impact results in, you know, anxiety, crippling anxiety for some people.
I think it's interesting. There was actually a study. You bring up how the design is literally made to impact our mind.
It's psychology.
They did a study where there were actual withdrawals that if you don't be on your phone for a couple hours, you get exhausted. Like your brain gets sleepy. You get bored easily. But so then what do you do to get back up again? You go back on your phone.
Yeah.
And it's a constant cycle that it's making you yearn for it more. And it also, when you get on social media, like for me, when I post a photo and I'm getting a bunch of attention, my day gets better. And I think it's deeper than obviously the phone. It's I want public validation from people, which is a human thing that I know everyone feels. But it's also like we're starting so young now on social media and having these phones, like babies. There was another study that we'll cite in the podcast notes that when like toddlers, specifically the age of 2 to 4, you know how there's the terrible twos. They're crying all the time and they're throwing tantrums. So parents...
Is it because they want a phone?
They're like, give me a fucking iPhone, mom. No, it's because... And it's just like kids being kids. And the mom or the parent would give them an iPad, a tablet, an iPhone to shut them up. And usually a good portion of the time they're quiet. But then they look back years later and it's... They shut off their emotions because they just pacify on this phone, on social media, on games and apps, just to shut down. Instead of handling the problem face first, you just kind of just push it to the side and get on the phone.
It's like that feeling when you post a photo on Instagram. I used to, and I still kind of have remnants of this. I think I have 10% of this feeling, maybe 6%, because I'm just being honest. When you post on Instagram, you're immediately like, you think the world hates you and you're like constantly checking like how that photo is doing. And that is not even something that I want to do, but just naturally my body does. Mm-hmm. And I've developed a really healthy relationship on social media now, I feel like, because I just genuinely do not give a flying 50 fuck about it. Like, I don't care. I'm not trying. I think when I was younger, and by when I was younger, I mean last year.
You're like yesterday when I was younger.
I felt like I needed to prove to myself and other people that, like, I'm hot and I'm, like, you know, gorgeous. And these are, like, cute photos of me here and I'm having a fun life here. And it's like, now it's like, I don't feel the need to fucking prove anything to anyone anymore. And I'm like, you can see that I'm hot in person. And, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's gotten better. But still the phone. And this may be one of the most insensitive things I have said on this podcast. So please tell me if this is like fucked up.
Yeah.
But I do think that one could liken like a phone addiction to similar tendencies with a food addiction. And that's a hot take. And
go on. I'm back up your point.
Because in this century that we live in, the 21st, I did get a college degree. In the 21st century that we live in, we need our phones. Like, we need food.
It's essential.
And so that's why it's like, when it comes to something like alcoholism, and like, I'm not comparing different types of addictions. I'm also not an expert at all. And I haven't lived through that, so I cannot testify to that genuinely. But when it comes to something that's like foreign drugs or controlled substances, it makes more sense in my head how someone could separate themselves from it. But when it's something like food, you can't really blame the person, because like you have to eat to live. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that must be such a hard thing to like cut out of your daily life, because you literally need to eat to survive. And obviously this has a very different impact, but I definitely think we need our phones in the 21st century.
Uh-huh. And it's like
we need it for work and we need it for life.
Absolutely. And it's sad to say, because I think it's really easy to like tell people like, oh, just don't use your phone. That is literally not possible.
That's not possible.
For example, I couldn't have traveled without my phone. There were certain things when I got to different countries that I needed to do on my phone that I would have not been able to do. There were, like, for example, say I didn't know the language. Like, I knew the language in Spain. Like, people have translate. Like, I needed to be able to
flex.
Did you say flex? Oh, yeah, I'm an immigrant. Ooh, so cool. Well, I do think it's cool. But
as it should
I feel
be.
Like I was just in an after-school ad.
Yeah, I think it's cool that I'm the daughter of immigrants and you're watching Jerry Say.
That's but, basically what it felt
but
like.
But no, like, it's so funny because you'll meet, like, that Silver Lake, like, hippie boy.
Yeah,
that'll
like, be I'm like, just on my phone. I have a flip phone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Who needs a phone? It's like, well, yeah, babe, I have emails to answer. So cool. Like, please do what's best for you. But, like, we all have to use a phone. What is scary is, like, the overconsumption of us using the phone. Like, we were physically not made to look at a screen this long. It blows my mind. Like, now I feel like a total nerd when we think about how we're evolving as humans because
physically,
of our phones.
Did you see physically, the National we're Geographic changing.
Like, literally, like, my mom talks about this all the time, and she's going to laugh that I even brought this up. But she genuinely thinks that her neck curves differently because of her computer and her phone. So, like, the overconsumption of it, like, we're all on this way too much, like, just scientifically, objectively. Like, there are studies that say Americans check their smartphones on average of 96 times a day, which works out to once every 15 minutes, two-thirds of Americans check their phones 160 times every day.
I probably do it, like, 700,000.
I beat that.
No, yeah, literally, I'm, like, checking my phone every 5 seconds.
I was like, frankly, like, I think we passed that.
I check my phone so much that my phone checks me. I'm never not.
But I think that the way that we navigate using our phones is really differently. So it makes me want to pose the question, what are specific moments or instances that have given you anxiety or heightened your stress around having a phone? Because I think that's different for all of us. For me, personally, it's text all the way. Like, I know that this sounds like such a preposterous statement, but I do believe it with every fiber of my being. I wish our phones didn't have texting. And I know that that's literally the most convenient part of having a phone. I wish they only had calls. I don't care about responding to texts immediately, but what I think does stress me out and I think what does give me anxiety is not the phone itself, is the fact that I've had people question where we stand because of my inability to have quick responses or to be present in that way, if that makes any sense.
Which is valid.
So I'll have like 400 texts, 500 texts on my phone. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, it's not that deep. Because it's also, I have that same sentiment towards people with me. If I text you and you don't text me right away, I don't really care. Unless we're making plans. I'm not an awful person. I am consistent and present with that. But I think I literally sent it in our group chat this week. I fell out with a friend that I literally have not responded to just this week from high school, one of my best friends from high school, because they had been harboring anger towards me because of my inability to, like, text back or call them as much as they would like, but they never articulated that to me.
Mm.
So, like, those moments are really hard for me because I just don't put that much weight into my phone. And that is what stresses me out the most about having a phone.
Sure. I mean, I can speak on, like, even behalf of, like, our text that, like, we sent to Dare We Say. It's for the last, like, week and a half, like, I'll text you. And also, prefacing it, I don't take it personally because I know where I stand with you constantly, and you're my, like, sister.
Yeah.
And also, if I need you, I'll call you. That's something that I know. Always pick up a FaceTime. She won't answer a text, but it was like a week. I'll text her every single day. Alicia Del Sol, I miss you. Hey, do you have your mic with you? Baby. She doesn't reply, but she answers to our group text. And then she's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I don't take offense. But there might be people in your life that will take offense to it.
And see, the same, I say this all to say, like, I never want to police someone's feelings either. Like, when someone comes to me with that comment, I'm not going to, like, you know, whisk you away, or I'm not going to, like, be, like, dismissive, because that I never want to do. I always want to validate people's feelings. But sometimes I think that people take it too far, and it's like, you don't have a jurisdiction over my time just because you have my phone number. Like, I'm sorry.
No,
of
course.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I take that really seriously. Like, I don't love texting. Like, to sit and text back and forth with someone for 3 hours is my worst nightmare. Pick up the phone and call me. I always pick up a call. But I have to validate the fact that—
Can't you argue, though, that if you want, instead of replying in text, you can call them back, too? Like,
but then,
I don't know. Just sometimes playing I don't devil's
have
advocate.
The time. No, sure, please, absolutely. But sometimes I just don't always have the time. And then I'm like, if it was important, you'd call
me.
Because I'm going to keep it a buck, too. I don't want to sit here and talk about things that don't, like, the mundane. You know what I mean? Some people just want to text to text.
And I'm one of those people.
Well, I'll interject here. I think that conversation specifically, I think hits home because we all have to deal with that on a daily basis, not just with you, Alicia, but in life with texting people, not being able to get back to them. And I think there's so much to say about the fact that says who do we need to be available at all times?
100%.
Says who do we need to be accessible at all times? And that same token, I think that there is something to say about, well, we do live in 2022. Mm-hmm. And if you're posting on social media, maybe you could respond to something.
Yeah.
And I think that's just as valid as the other argument. I think both are true. And I think I do not want to ever say this word again because I'm literally so sick of saying the word nuance. But I think this is a conversation that is that. I mean, every conversation we have is. LOL. But
we're so
different. I think that both are true. And that's not a profound thing to say, but it is an accurate thing to say. And it is also my perspective, which is that, like, I get it. Like, I personally, even though I'm very different than you, Alicia, I mean, in so many ways, but when it comes to this, because I feel I have to respond to everyone. And not only do I feel like I have to, I actually want to. I want to be that person that, like, you text me, hey, and I'm like, what's up? Like, my castmate, Alicia, texted me the other day, and it was, like, kind of an alarm. This wasn't an alarming situation, but, like, the way she phrased her first text to me was kind of alarming. And then I could tell she kept typing for a long time, and I just texted her, and I said, hey, I'm here in reading. And, like, just because I wanted to, like, let her know that I was, like, you know, present. And then she linked me later. She's like, oh, that made me really happy that, like, you were there in that moment. So in that way, I can't relate to you. But in other ways, I agree. And I had that experience when I was running a school organization. Because people felt like they owned my time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't everyone. It was not everyone. There are a lot of amazing people, but there were people that were like, and this was mainly people that I wasn't even friends with at all or did not even communicate with. But obviously when you're a part of the leadership of an organization, you need to be available and you need to be present, but like not at like 4 a.m. Or like when you're at like a family member's funeral or just something that's like, obviously you're not being present for that. So I really tune in that way.
I think it's so interesting because I'm like the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Because I look forward to getting reached out to people, like from people. I look forward to texting back people that I want to text back to. So if it's someone that I love and care about, I will reply within seconds. Mm-hmm. And I don't see a problem with that. But like also going back to just what Josie said of like, she saw someone texting, like her friend typing and didn't say anything and just saying, hey, I'm here. Like when you said that, Josie, I got a physical reaction of my heart feeling warm. It's little things like that that I'm like, you don't know how much that means. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Especially in a world that like we are all so busy that we can't always be with each other physically.
Yeah.
We can't always be on the phone physically. So just a nice text means something.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so opposite of you. Like I feel like—
We couldn't be more different.
We couldn't be more different, but like, I think what makes our friendship work is that we talk about it.
Yeah, we talk about it and we're honest about our differences. And also, please correct me if I'm wrong. I want to hold my hand to the fire. I don't think it's fair for like people to be reaching out to me sometimes and then see me on social media. As much as like I stand 10 toes down in the statement, like I stand by the statement, it's my phone, I can do what I want on it. It doesn't mean that I have to respond to you. But at the same time, I have to acknowledge that it's not fair. Because I will say I have felt awful when someone reached out to me and because their very important text got lost in the mix, I wasn't able to be present for them in a way that I would have wanted to. That, I do agree, is not fair. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I think that since I've met Josie and since I've met Yaz, I've taken steps to do better and be better.
Yes.
I'm still far from perfect. I'm still the worst in this entire room. But I always want to be a better friend. I always want to like grow. And I like thank you guys because you both have had separate conversations. I remember Josie and I were like first few months of friendship. She sat me down. And she was like, yeah, I can't do that. You know, you went to New York and we didn't talk for 2 weeks.
I was literally like, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah. She was like, I can't do that.
And I mean, like even this week, Alicia.
Which can I just say, there are some people in my life and we don't text every day. Sometimes we don't, we've gone through periods where we don't text for weeks. And it's like, but we know that we love each other and we consistently show up for each other. And then when we do talk to each other, it is as if we had been together every second. Like, so I think that friendships can exist like that. And I love it. But the way that we were rolling, Alicia, and I don't, and also like if I had met you this year, maybe I would have been different in that convo, but the way that we've been rolling, like sharing a house together, sharing work together, and then not hearing from you, I think that's why I was a little bit crazy.
That's fair,
like, that's
though.
A deal breaker in a friendship.
Yeah.
It's not a deal breaker now for those who are out there.
Yeah. You're like, they're not friends anymore, actually.
And I also, there are ways to communicate with people that isn't instant. Like my friend Christian, he's one of my favorite people on earth. We send each other video diary updates.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Yeah, I don't like respond immediately. He doesn't respond immediately, but like we send each other a little short film. But I will say, if this was a debate and if I was the moderator, I think that if I could honestly say something to the two of you, I think, Alicia, I think for you, I think I understand all that you're saying about not feeling the need to respond to things that are like inconsequential or maybe like insignificant. But I think that if we were really to look at the majority of people's concerns with not just you, but anyone who maybe is not responsive, it's probably not things that are inconsequential or insignificant to them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's important to acknowledge. And in that same token, I think when it comes to someone like you, Yasmeen, who is, I think, similar to me in certain ways, I think it's asking yourself, you know, what am I really getting from a response from this person? Is it really what I'm asking? Or is it just, is this a form of love or a form of being seen in a way that you are not able to feel outside of that person? And maybe that's a larger conversation to have at home.
I mean,
and I think both of those are true.
I think both can coexist. I think it's, I feel like nowadays I don't need people to reply to me to know that they love me, because I know that I can go to you no matter what and you will be there for
Absolutely.
Me. And I also, and I think it's very interesting, the whole phone thing and anxiety and communication. But I also want to touch on one more thing on this episode. This is now a career.
Yeah.
Social media, phones, influencers, people are constantly like, I have some friends who like go on outings and take content because that's how they get money, instead of making the content or going on a trip just to go on a trip and make memories. You're going on a trip to make content for social media, to make money, to pay rent. Yeah. And it's so,
and now your entire life is tied to a dollar.
And now your entire life is tied to a dollar and it's tied to this. And without this, you don't get that check. You can't pay rent. And also, have you noticed, I've seen a lot of displaced people, houseless individuals, they will have a smartphone and not even have a home.
Yo.
But that is crazy to me, because that's how they're trying, that's how you get a
but
job.
But it's also like, yeah, accessibility.
Accessibility.
You need that, because it's like how you get information.
The way people are going to be like, if they can have a smartphone,
then they can get up and fucking work. Honestly.
Capitalists can shut up. But it's, and it's like, you need that because it's a lifeline. Like, it is a necessity. It's like the same conversation of like, you know, kids from lower socioeconomic status communities needing computers in their household now, because you can't literally turn in your projects, your essays without it.
Your college applications, you can't. And it's...
Well, that's literally the reason why those kids struggled the most in the pandemic.
Oh my God, talking about inequity.
Literally,
it just
there's so many stats that discuss about those children who didn't have access to technology and that are now like grades behind.
Yeah, 100%. And like not as proficient as their peers because of lack of accessibility and technology. Like, it's such a necessity. Our phones are such a necessity. Do we think that there is a world that we can reach a balance where we're on our phones for what we need and we're enjoying it and it's healthy, but also staying off of it and creating boundaries? Like, what does that look like? Like, can we do that in this new world where we're needing it more and more?
I think there's always balance. I think it takes a lot of power. I think it takes a lot of willpower. I think it takes a lot of bravery. And I think it takes a lot of accountability within yourself. And I'm saying accountability because I'm looking at me, because every day I'm like, I'm going to look in the mirror and say I'm the most beautiful person in the world and list out 10 things I'm grateful for and not be on my phone for the first 30 minutes. I haven't done that in a year. So I have to hold myself accountable for that. I do think that we can have this beautiful thing at the same time as taking in the actual world that we're living in right now. I think you can do both. I think it takes time. I think it takes a lot of push, because the world is, the world wants us to rely on this.
Yeah.
The industry, the entertainment industry, our careers,
the infrastructure,
the government,
of this very country.
They want us to rely on this. So I think it's kind of I think goes back to our whole dare we say thing. We're disruptors. Mm-hmm. We have to disrupt this status quo and hold ourselves accountable of looking at the world, being present, having actual bonds physically, face to face, if you can, without this.
Body on body.
Body on body. Body, yaddy, body, yaddy. Body, body. What about you?
I think that it starts with step one, which is being honest with yourself first about your relationship and acknowledging it. And like, get really aware of what it is, whether it's like taking a step back for a day. And also be honest with each other as people in what your needs are and require. And know that it's not your fault. Like, yeah. I know this sounds very dramatic, but it is fucking dramatic. Like, we are living on a planet where literally only for the past 22 years, not even 22 years, for the past, 20 years since phones, that's a stat. Since like cell phones have become a thing, like the past 20 years. And like, you know, never before have we had to have the whole world in our palm, in the palm of our hands.
Yeah.
And I think that that has changed us in so many ways. And I think that it is not our fault. And I was literally talking about this today. We really cannot control just about fucking anything in this world. There are going to be amazing moments. There are going to be bad moments. But the only thing that we can do as humans is control our relationship to that given moment. And I think that that comes with being present and forcing yourself to like take a step outside of your environment. And maybe that means shutting off your phone for a little bit. And I think in that there is balance.
Yeah. Yay! And when we come back, we're going to have a little episode of Unhinged. Good fucking luck.
Yazzie-boo.
Hi, guys.
Today, we have the pleasure, truly the honor, of hearing another unhinged story from your life because you, baby, are the main character.
I am.
And I have some really interesting things happen to you. People come into your life, just in general, but also specifically with dating.
Yeah.
And I...
Not you laughing like that.
I am strapped
You're
in.
You're strapped on.
All this strapped in, buckled
Josie's
up.
Josie's face when I said strap on, she goes.
The exact in me was like, we have a violation.
HR. That just leads us into another lovely conversation with Yaz. Tell us what's going on in your life. What's happening dating-wise?
So what's the tea?
Who's disrupting your peace this week?
But you know what? No one's really disrupting my peace. I'm kind of getting my pieces disrupted.
Oh, tea.
So basically, I had a crazy fucking last week. So I'm kind of talking to someone right now, and I had a really crazy week with this person because a lot of our relationship's over the phone. And, you know, when you're building and fostering a relationship with someone, for me, intimacy is really important. And with that comes being intimate over the phone. AKA sexting, AKA FaceTime, intimacy. I don't know if there's another word for that. Anyways, I have a toy. Love her. Love it. I can't believe I'm fucking saying this right now. And I'm going to town. I'm talking to my person and we're being really cute and loving and living, laughing and loving. But I didn't realize, and I made a note, by the way. Can I just say, I had a blanket in my
fighting
fucking
for your life.
I'm fighting for my life and my innocence right now. I have a blanket in my mouth so I don't make too much noise because I know in sex I do make noise.
I'm sorry. You are pleasuring yourself while you are like Osama bin Ladening your mouth. Like a full.
I'm waterboarding myself like, as
like,
I'm doing it.
Like you're self terrorizing yourself by shoving a blanket. Get in your mouth so no one
can
hear you scream?
Well, because I don't want to... Correct. What am I going to do? Terrorize the whole apartment complex? Which...
I mean...
Anyways, so one thing leads to another, and I have my amazing time with my person, and I got a text right after I fucking finish, you guys. Literally within seconds, I finish. I'm like... and then I get a text from my roommate, hey, are you making noise? I go... What?
Okay, I'm sorry. What fucking text is that? What do you mean, are you making noise? If you live with
Wait,
me.
Wait, no, that's not what she said. She said, are you making weird noises?
Are you making weird noises?
Yeah, I want to say it again.
I'm like, and if you can hear a noise, you dumb bitch. I'm like, yeah, that's fucking noise.
And so I get it. So I finish. And literally within seconds, I'm like, yay. Yeah, literally, yay, girl's finishing. I'm like, like breathless, and that's when you know. I did my cardio for the day, for the week maybe. And I get a text message from my roommate, Anna, and she goes, "Hey, are you making really loud, weird noises?" I text within seconds, "You're lying." She goes, our downstairs neighbor just called and said that she hears.
Wait, was Anna not home?
Anna was home, but she was in her room having headphones in, so she didn't hear.
How do you know she had headphones in?
It's the woman right under me. She had headphones in because she was in a meeting.
Okay, you were doing that while your roommate was in a meeting?
I don't care. I'm in my home. I'm in my own room. What am I supposed to do? Like, also the time difference. Like, things are weird. Like, I'm not going to, like... Can I just say this was during my lunch break?
Okay, so your neighbor called and complained about how loud you were being.
She said, "I'm making loud, weird, intimate noises," and she quieted down.
Okay, so and then what happened? Did you awkwardly just sit there when you found out that your neighbor heard, and were you just kind of like fragile?
No, I'm on the phone with this. I was frozen. You know, there's fight, flight, or freeze. I was freeze. I was frozen in time, and I was naked. I was literally like this, with my phone and with my person. And this person was like, "Are you okay? Like, what just happened? What just happened?" And I was like, "I'm not coming back from this. This one, I'm not coming back from, because we park right next
to
each other. My neighbors and I park right next to each other in our garage. And I saw them last night, you guys. And like, they come out together, and I literally had to stay in my car. I was like, I'm so embarrassed. It's embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
It's literally embarrassing.
I love that Anna is just so used to it by now. That, like, she wasn't even complaining. She was just like, our roommate, like our neighbors complaining.
That's She's so like, "Babe, great. Do you mind turning it down?" And I make sure I put the Amazon Brown noise on, so it's like you hear like noise in the background, so you don't hear myself.
Not brown noise.
There's a whole like
brown
process.
Noise is better than white. There's a process. Like, I have my whole setup, and it's also like,
it's a lunch
by
break
the way,
for me. I'm gonna say
it's not weird. By the way, you guys, like, this is like everyone should be masturbating. It's
no, no
important.
One's saying that's weird. And
me,
just,
me.
It is just me. Like the weirdest thing I've ever heard. No, I'm kidding. But no, I think
anyways,
that's beautiful. And honestly,
meant.
Flick on. That should be USC's next.
Anyways, that's Unhinged. We'll be right back.
Well, guys, that was another amazing conversation. I'm so glad we could catch up. And also, yeah, expect to not hear from me, FYI, for the next several hours because I am in Roma. But can I just say something?
Yeah, go say it.
I love you both.
Oh, Josie.
We love you.
We love you. I love you both so much. And also, like, whether Alicia doesn't reply to me, even if I'm in the same room as her for another year, or Josie, you text me out of nowhere saying I'm here. I know we always have each other because we talk and we communicate. And we know at the end of the day, we're always in each other's corners.
I'm thankful for our friendship in real life and the real experiences we get to have with each other. So, guys, be present with the people around you. Show love. And don't be afraid to put that phone down.
See you next week.
Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer, and Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Toda.
And me, Yasmin Hamadi.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña. Our engineer and editor is Jordan Cantor, and Brian Vasquez is our theme music composer.
Our video producers are Matt DeGroot, Narm Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverett, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.